this is Navis, and welcome to the Universe of Truth. Today, I have with me Laura Alanto de Franklin. She's my teacher. She's a curandera, and she also works with the VA as a social worker with Native Americans and Hispanic veterans. She began her early age of curandismo, learning curandismo with her mother and her grandmother in Texas and also in Mexico. She was taught by honoring the herbs, prayers, and rituals of the Aztec, Apache, and Mestiza people, the ancestry of the Americas. And she has also learned many healing methods and has a master's in social work and curandismo training for over 25 years, and also shamanic healing and herbology certification. I am very honored that she is with us today because she has really, really enlightened me about the Azteca traditions and more of the prayers and getting me closer to my roots as a Chicana, and learning more about the curandismo from the Aztec teachings. And I've been walking with her for over a year now, and I'm so honored that she has been there with me for this journey of learning. So thank you, and welcome for being with us, Laura.
Thank you very much, Mavis. That's a beautiful introduction. I'm very honored to be here, especially in this next couple of sacred days surrounding Halloween and Day of the Dead.
Yeah, that's what I really wanted to talk about, is because Día de los Muertos, or Day of the Dead, is such an honorable festive holiday in Mexico, in all of the southern of the border, south of the border. That's Mexico, South America, and also in Aztlán, which we call Aztlán, and maybe you can explain what Aztlán is, of the Hispanic people. So can you go into that a little bit more?
So absolutely. So you know that about 500 years ago, the Spanish conquistadors landed in what is now Mexico. And so they ran into the natives practicing a ritual that seemed to make fun of death. So it was a ritual that the indigenous people at that time had been practicing for over 3,000 years, a ritual that the Spaniards tried very hard to get rid of. And so that is known today as Day of the Dead, Día de los Muertos. This is celebrated in Mexico and different parts of the United States, as you just mentioned, but it's celebrated very differently depending on the region where you go. So the ritual has since merged with the Catholic theology, but it remains with the same principles of the Aztec ritual, which is basically using the skulls. A lot of people might wear wooden skulls, masks, and they're called calacas, and dance in honor of their deceased relatives. The wooden skulls are placed on altars that are dedicated to our loved ones. So we can use also sugar skulls, which are made with the names of the dead person on the forehead, and they're eaten by the relative or a friend.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Let's slow up there. Hold on. So this is for the American listener, eating candy skulls with the name of the dead person almost sounds like it's it sounds kind of weird. Can you explain just that a little bit more of the festive, less, because when you explain it, you almost explain it like theology. This is the way it's done, the factual stuff is done. But what is the emotion with that? Why is that really done when you're talking about it through the heart? How would you explain that?
Well, you know, it's done more of a celebration of the life of the person that has passed away. It is coming more out of honoring of that person's life, you know, what it meant to be with them, what we learn from them. It's not done out of fear for death. It's not done out of sadness. It's a celebration. It's honoring them and remembering in a positive way.
Oh, okay. So, like, the sugar skull is like the sugar of life, the beauty
exactly.
of life.
It's a memorial day for the American people.
Okay. Okay. So it's almost like being able to eat the sugar that the person brought into your life. And when you eat
Absolutely.
The skull,
right.
it's the skull is a representation of their body then.
Right, right. And the sweetness that they brought to our life.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. So that's why in Mexico and Peru and all these places that you go to, you see the skeleton is so well represented. You know, because
right.
there's all these skeleton bodies, but they're beautifully painted and decorated.
Right. And, you know, a lot of the colors have meaning, you know, the colors that are painted.
Well, tell me about that.
Okay.
Well,
some of the colors... Some of the colors are represented in different ways. So, like purple, for instance, the color purple, it really represents a little bit of our grief and pain because, you know, they're not here in body, but, you know, we feel them in spirit. The color white of the sugar is also for the sweetness, as you mentioned, and also for hope, for esperanza, for the hope that someday we're going to be reunited with our loved ones. And then the color pink is for celebration, for being happy, for making a festival out of their life and what they meant for us. The color yellow represents the sun, you know, the brightness that they brought into our life, you know, the new beginning. And so most of those colors are used in the decoration of the skulls, in the decoration of the paper, tissue paper that they sometimes hang up. So those are the basic colors at this point.
Well, what about black? So I know I've seen a lot of black.
Well, yeah. Black is just to honor the spirit of death, basically.
Okay.
It doesn't really have anything other than just that the color black has always been related to death.
Oh, okay. So... death then isn't something to be fearful of, but to embrace and enjoy.
Right. Death has never really been part of a fear factor in the Latin community, in the Aztec community, or people who have been brought up with this. It's something to embrace, something to know that we're going into a different dimension, a better dimension, a spiritual dimension. And knowing that somehow we're going to be connected again to one another.
Oh, that's beautiful. Because we're always connected. In my experience, our loved ones never leave us. And if we ask for our ancestors or even our loved ones for help or strength or security, they're always there. Just because when they die, it's their body that's dead, but their spirit is still alive and always walking with us.
Mm-hmm. And Dia de los Muertos is very important for the family to continue good relationship with that person that passed away, you know, because that spirit, that person that we lost, that loved one, is interceding for us in another dimension in the other life. You know, they're interceding with us either with prayer, with good luck, with good wishes, you know, whatever word you want to use. But it's a time to come also to terms with our mortality and become aware of a cycle of life. I rephrase it. It's an amazing time to honor those that have passed away.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because it seems like, you know, in our culture, there's a lot of ghostly hauntings. There's a lot of spirits that are unrested for good reasons. You know, you go into the inner city where there's a high crime rate. You see a lot of violence and you see a lot of ghostly images around there. And, you know, it just seems like there was no honor in life and there's no honor in death. And that's what they're looking for is love and embracement. So, you know, when Dia de los Muertos happen, I know in Mexico and in a lot of other places, there's fireworks, there's dancing, there's drumming, and you know, I know when in Denver there's still celebration of Día de los Muertos, where the curanderas, they do the full ritual of building the altars and also doing the Aztec dances. Now, can you talk to me a little bit about that? I know in the second part of the show, we're going to go more into depth about the altars, but can you talk about why is it so important to do these things?
The dance part, is that what you're asking about?
Well, the whole tradition, the party. Is it because we just have parties? Give me a reason.
Well, you know, we all like a good party. But mainly, you know, again, it's a celebration of that person's life. I mean, you know, you can celebrate it by making a special meal. You can celebrate it by having the dances of the Aztecas, danzantes, do it. You know, they're honoring, they're calling in the spirits. They're dancing, you know, passionately to their loved ones to return and offer one more time of being reunited with them. You know, it's not a party per se, you know, going out and having a couple of drinks and then going home. It is a time to be with your family, a time to maybe have a talking circle and discuss the good times and the best memories and what legacy they left us. A lot of the danzantes really do their rituals starting October 26th to like November the 8th. A lot of the danzantes dance for about a week and just bringing in all the directions and bringing in all the earth-based elements, you know, the fire, the air and earth and water. But it's just a connection to the whole universe and celebration. You know, I can't say enough that it's a time to honor one another here and to honor one another on the other dimension, our other life.
Wow. You know, you just said another very important thing, the connection of the universe. So when the dancers, for our listeners, can you kind of explain that a little bit and bringing in the elemental forces and being able to connect with the universe? That simple sentence is huge. It's something that we really need to understand a little bit more because that's what life is all about, really.
So you're asking me to talk a little bit about the elements. Is that what you're saying?
The elements, the directions, and then being able to bring that into center, into self, to be one with the universe. Because that's exactly what what the danzante is all about. Because I know in the beginning, the first thing they do is welcome in all the four directions, right? And then
right.
The earth, mother, and the father, sky. And then they do the prayers with the dances. So can you explain just a little bit more about that theology?
Well, you know, it was believed in those ancient times and the way I was brought up that we are connected. We're all one. We're one energy. And so when we make an offering by dancing or an offering in prayer to the directions, you know, we start with the east direction, as you know, honoring the sun god, for the lack of a better word, and bringing in the new beginnings and everything that direction entails. And so then we go around in circle doing the rest of the directions because every direction has a symbolic meaning in the way we walk our path. It's very important to connect to all those earth-based elements because we are not separate from earth. We're not separate from water and fire and wind. We're all connected, and we're all energy. You know, just because we're carrying human flesh does not mean that we're not part of Earth and Father Sky and Mother Earth and, you know, everything that entails of that. Growing up for me, in honoring this tradition and walking this Aztec tradition, my life is not separate from my directions, the cardinal points, or a plant that's on the road. I mean, it is my relative, it's an ancestor, it is a sister, it is a brother, because we're all connected.
Yeah, that's so important. And then also going back to the subject at hand, when you pass over or when you leave your body, you give it back to Earth and or Mother Earth, you give it back to Mother Earth, mm-hmm. or Father Sky, if you burn yourself, you know, and you throw the dust to the sky, and then your spirit is free and you're able to still to communicate with the earthly beings. So Dia de los Muertos is an amazing, amazing day to be able to celebrate with our loving relatives, and it's nothing to be afraid of.
Right. Yeah. You know, I'm not sure if this is a good time to talk about the altar that people put up.
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about that because that's a very important part. And then maybe later on in the show you can tell us how to build an altar. Would that be okay?
Well, actually, that's what I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about, if that's okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because the altar has the elements that we were just talking about, you know, with Mother Earth and sky and all the directions. It has the four main elements, you know, again, earth, wind, water, and fire. And so when you do an altar, when someone decides to honor Day of the Dead, or they can have an altar at any other time, you know, earth is represented by some type of food, you know, it could be corn. The corn is very important to the Mexican population, to the Aztecs.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that the souls are fed by the smell of the food. So a very favorite food plate that is made is mole. Which is
mole.
I'm
hungry now.
Which is more like a gravy made out of different types of chili, and then it's put on top of chicken. And mole is used a lot in festivals and fiestas and parties. So the earth is represented by some type of food that the loved ones that passed really liked. Then wind is represented by a moving object. Usually that's a tissue paper that was used. So that's called papel picado. Okay. So, basically it is a bright colored tissue paper that's cut out with designs, different types of designs.
Mm-hmm.
It can either be handmade or you can buy it. And again, the colors that are used in that paper is purple,
mm-hmm.
for grieving and pain, and white for hope, and, pink for celebration. Then there's water. Water is placed in some type of a glass or some type of a container for the spirit to drink, because it's believed that it's thirsty after a very long journey to the altar. You know, it's coming from the underworld and coming into this world, and so it's traveled a long time, so it's custom to have water for them. And then fire. Fire can be represented by a candle. There is a candle that is lit to represent the soul or the spirit of that person. And then there's an extra one that is placed for a forgotten soul that didn't have any family.
Mm.
A very important thing to put on an altar is a picture of a person to whom you're dedicating the altar to, or someone that you're honoring the altar to. And the altar is in three tiers, three levels. The tiers represent, the bottom tier represents the underworld, and then the middle tier represents the world that we're in now, and then the top tier is the life after, you know, the next dimension, the next transition of our bodies, of our souls.
Now, I'm having a hard time seeing these tiers. So would it be like a shelf or something, or
so, like for me, for instance, I built mine today.
Mm-hmm.
I used my coffee table. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's the middle. And then you can set a crate or a box on top of the coffee table, and then cover all that with a white, tablecloth. And so
mm-hmm.
the floor itself becomes the third tier, then you have a coffee table as your second tier, and then you have the milk crate as the top tier.
Oh, I
okay.
see. So that's huge. That's not just a little teeny tiny little anything.
No, it's pretty
it's
huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Everyone else can, you know, eat on the couch or something. That's
right.
Great. Wow, that's
right.
Beautiful. Wow. So then you decorate it with flowers, and you decorate it with a lot of
candles.
Candles.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of candles. Again, purple is used again. You know, purple is a big, huge color. on the very, very top level of the altar, you should have four candles because that represents your four cardinal points, your four directions, okay? So basically the candles are shining the way, I guess, for the dead to return, the spirits to return, okay? So that's on the very top. On the second level, there should be candy skulls, the sugar candy skulls. There should be three of them. The three represents the connection to the Catholic religion, the Holy Trinity. Okay. On the center of the third level, it's a bigger skull is placed, and that represents the giver of life, our creator, whatever name you have for your God that you believe in. Okay. This altars can become huge, and in some towns there's competitions, you know, who has the most decorated altar. But these are the... Go ahead.
Yeah, because in Denver, they have an organization called CHOC, and every year they build... they have the huge celebration for Dia de los Muertos, and it's more of an artistic showing of the altars. So everybody goes in and they build an altar, and each one of these altars are so elaborate and so beautiful. And because the artists are the ones that basically have brought this to the people, they have not lost the tradition, and you go in there and you're just amazed how beautiful these altars are. So go ahead. You weren't finished with the altar building.
Okay. Well, you know, I've grown up with this, and when I moved to New Mexico, I kind of brought this. I've been here 26 years now in the Albuquerque area, and so my home is open to the community. You know, my neighbors and anybody from the area comes in, and they bring their mementos and things, but. One of the things that I make sure and people need to do is kind of like clean a little bit the area where they're going to make their altar. Sort of like cleanliness brings holiness, I guess, kind of leaving a clear path for the dead, you know. And then I burn copal, you know, the incense from Mexico that smells so amazingly beautiful. I burn it, and I clear the area, clear the space. One of the things that my grandmother taught me was to make a small cross of ash. It could be ash from your fireplace or ash from cigarette smoking, but it's put on the front door, okay? It's put on the front door, just a very small little cross with ash. It's put on your front door because as the spirits are coming to your home to look at the altar and see how you're honoring, they step on this cross, and so... You know, if they're carrying any type of guilt or they're carrying any type of things that they shouldn't be carrying, the ash kind of expels that, you know, it kind of removes that. So they're not walking heavy. So they're light and free and able to do what they need to do in this world until they return back to where they came from. Okay.
So they're there for a really good party.
They're there for a great party.
That's what we want, you know. Let's get back to the
yeah. And you know, a lot of the foods, you know, people are making what they call pan de muerto, you know, the day of the dead bread, which are, you know, small bread, sort of like the challah bread from the Jewish community. And it's very sweet. They make a design on the top, sort of like a cross, but it could be a crossbone. And it's placed on the altar or shared with the community. And it's sort of like a connection, you know, of the bread of Christ, you know. And so you're sharing that with your community.
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah, because it's so important to be able to break bread with your loved ones just one more time. And it gives me so much comfort when I'm able to say, you know, my papa, my dad, my father, I'm going to honor you tonight, and we're going to have dinner, and we're just going to share the good times that you gave me, the sorrows that we had, all of the heartbreaks and all of the hard work. And even though your body's not here, I am so happy that you're here with me. You know, because I called them in, and, you know, whenever I go to the celebrations that the Aztec, you know, with the Aztec dancers do and they dance, and I feel the spirits. It's so funny because as soon as the dance starts, as soon as they go into the four directions and start doing the drumming and the dancing and calling in the spirits, mm-hmm. that church is always from being cold to being sweaty hot. Because
right.
all the ancestors are coming in. They're like, yay, I'm finally being invited to be, breaking bread with my family. And it's such a beautiful feeling because none of these spirits are angry. None of them are angry. They're all joyous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best feeling is being a medium and being a person that can feel these things to be able to feel thousands of happy spirits.
So it's done by dancing, and it's done by making an altar at home. But in a lot of the rural little towns in Mexico, you know, they go to the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
They might not have an altar in their home, but they go to the cemetery. They're not afraid of walking through the cemetery at 11 o'clock at night or 1 o'clock in the morning because they know they're going to go see their loved one, and the loved one is maybe going to come and visit them.
Well, you know, and that's a good point because when I was in Mexico, that's exactly where everybody would celebrate. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
a giant party. They'd be,
right.
you know, drinking, eating, laughing,
mm-hmm.
fireworks
mm-hmm.
going off, you know, singing, happy. You know, nobody's crying. Everyone's having a good time.
Right. You know, they decorate the gravesites with a lot of flowers, the marigold flowers and candles. They bring toys for children that have passed away. You know, the body of tequila comes out for the adult people, and they sit on like picnic blankets, you know, next to the gravesites and eat the favorite food of their loved ones and hoping to reunite for that night with their loved ones. You know, the marigold is very important in this time of the Day of the Dead. You know, it represents the flower, you know, of 400 lives, you know, there's a whole Aztec myth about that. And so the marigold is used, the aroma, have you ever smelled a marigold? It's got a certain aroma, you know, that they feel that in the fall, the flower blooms just to bring the spirits back.
A marigold. Can you, what is that? Is that a flower?
Yeah, the marigold. Uh-huh. Marigold. Marigold.
Okay, very cool. I'm going to look that up. Hey, you know what? We're going to take a station break here for 3 minutes. This is Mavis Salazar with the Universe of Truth, and you're listening to Laura Alonso de Franklin, and we're talking about Dia de los Muertos, and stay with us. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Hi, I'm astrologer Mark Husson. If you're one of the millions of people who don't know where to turn when life takes a turn, I invite you to call our individually screened and tested psychic advisors at 12listen and 12angel.com. Come and feel the difference that thousands of people like you have discovered through our live telephone support. It's available to you securely in the comfort of your home 24 hours a day. 12listen and 12angel.com. We'll be here when you need us.
Hi, my name is Audra Garcia, and I'm the host of the live advisor support line, 12angel.com. Here at 12angel.com, our hand-selected staff is dedicated to bring you messages of hope and support from your angels. Our moderated prayer board is where you can leave a no-strings-attached request that is read and empowered by our staff each day. So when you can't quite spread your own wings, let us help. 12angel.com. Be touched.
Hi, this is Karen Lewis, host of So Sensitive on Soul's Journey Radio. Please join me each Monday evening at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time as we explore, reveal, and resolve the sensitive matters of your body, mind, and spirit.
Hi, I'm Tatiana.
And I'm Susan Dentino, and I'd like you to join us on Spiritual Potpourri every Wednesday from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's soulsjourneyradio.com, where we talk about everything from angels to Zen.
See you then.
Bye-bye.
Laura Alonso de Frank Garcia. You said I did a beautiful, now I just messed it up. And we're just talking about the Day of the Dead. Now, I want to, if anybody wants to get a hold of Laura, she can be reached by her phone number at 505-315-4164. And that's her office at 505-315-4164, or her email address, which is ancient_healingarts@yahoo.com. Once again, it's ancient_healingarts@yahoo.com. She lives in New Mexico. And, you know, I just really am curious about the Sweat Lodge, you know, American people know it more as a Sweat Lodge. But can you explain that and tell us more about exactly what it is that you have built? It's just a beautiful thing. You sent me pictures of it. And tell me about the whole adventure of getting this built.
Absolutely. Well, it is a Aztec Sweat Lodge called a Temazcal, which means a house of heat. Temazcal is a Nahuatl name from the Aztec tradition, where the women used to go in there and give birth and stay in there their 40 days and get better after birth. But it was used a lot for healing rituals during that tradition, for spiritual healing, for physical problems and emotional issues. It is still being used in Mexico now. And about 10 years ago, I met an amazing woman from Mexico, Maestra Rita Navarrete Perez, who is a Temazcalera. And so I spent many time with her trying to learn about the Temazcal. I've been in a lot of the Native American sweat lodges, but for me, they were just a bit too hot for me, and we're coming from a male warrior energy.
And so
the Mexican traditional sweat, the temazcal, is coming more from a female energy, the womb of the mother, and it's just so healing. It is filled with plants inside and flowers and basically aromatherapy during a sauna. It's a huge thing that I was able to finally learn the traditions, the chants, the songs, all that gave me permission to build one here in my backyard here in New Mexico. And I had a lot of people come and help. A lot of people donated towards supplies, and it is made out of adobe bricks. It fits about 15 to 20 people, so it's pretty
That's
big.
Huge.
It's huge. It's pretty big in diameter. We're waiting to initiate it on December 12th to honor the Virgen de Guadalupe for me. That's my north direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's waiting to be used by people, and my hope is to open it up to the community and use it for healing. Rituals and ceremonies, spiritually, emotionally, and physically.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about that, because you said about the male energy. I don't do sweats, only because in Denver we have a lot of the sweats mostly run by people with the Lakota tradition. And with the Lakota tradition is basically warrior energy, what that was used, that was brought in from, I can't remember. What is the name over there in the Lakota land? I just lost the name of
Manor it. Manor Crow Dog?
Yeah, Manor Crow Dog, but the land,
Pine Ridge.
Pine Ridge, yes, Pine Ridge. And that's where a lot of the tradition started with Sundance, and that's where there was battle with the federal agents, because they really wanted to have the traditions to come back to be able to pray in the traditional way. So back in the 70s, that's where Wounded Knee once again occurred, and that's when they said, we are going to do our traditional dances regardless of what the agents or what America had told them that they couldn't do for centuries. So it's very important. One of the traditions was the sweat lodge, and being able to do the sweat lodge, they went into that very heavy, heavy male warrior energy. And a lot of times, you know, people would say, we're going to sweat until you bleed, because that's the kind of energy they needed to move, to stay in that frame of mind to be able to achieve their goals. So it is a very strong energy. And doing the sweats here in Denver with the people that I know, it's too hard for me to do that. But when I went to Mexico and I sweated there in Mexico, it was like taking a breath of fresh air because of the flowers and the fragrances and the care that they took just before you even entered into the into the lodge.
The massage.
I don't want to mess up the name. So that's why it is a different energy, because it's a healing energy. Mm-hmm. And that's what I felt. It's the healing energy of stepping into the mother's womb and being able to have all your hurts and your problems and all of the things that you want to hold sacred, being able to release it in that atmosphere. So it's so beautiful. And being able to have one in your backyard now, I can hardly wait December 12th to get over there and also be honored to do the initiation of it.
Well, I'm hoping, my dream and my hope in doing this is to open it up to women. You know, as you mentioned, the Lakota Plains Indians tradition, it's a beautiful ceremony, but for me, it's just a little too hot for myself. I'm not able to tolerate the whole entire rounds of the sweat. But for me, my hope is to bring women and have a safe environment, a very nurturing environment, because the mezcal is very therapeutic. Mm-hmm. And it's coming from, again, the female energy. It's coming from the womb of Mother Earth. You know, you come into the Temazcal, into the Aztec sweat lodge, as a young person, as an infant, and maybe even as a spirit that has not been born yet. And in that womb and that sacredness and safe place, you're able to release any negativity or belief system that don't serve you well anymore, or letting go of grief or whatever the issue is. You're there to release it in a beautiful, safe, nurturing environment that will take you to the next level of your path, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you're reborn again. You come out of the Temazcal, you know, you're surrounded by the directions, by the elements, and you're connected again. Your feet are grounded, you know, and your spirit is elevated to another dimension. And so you come out as a new person, as a brand new spirit again, with the opportunity to redo what you have let go and that doesn't serve you anymore. So I am just in love with the Temazcal. I mean, it has really affected me spiritually. You know, as you say, when you go to Mexico, you know, there's so many women who have them in their home, and and you just feel so loved. It's so gentle and aromatic, and the flowers and everything that's connected to all your senses. It's an incredible experience. So my hope is to open it up to women. I have it now, you know, and I'm able to use it. And so I'm hoping that women can connect with me, and we can have, you know, Temazcales here in New Mexico.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's probably going to be a dream come true sooner than later. One question I had for you, let's get back to the subject at hand, de los muertos, is when, once again, we have a lot of hauntings here and we have a lot of problem spirits. Is this day, could we use this day to honor these people and help them cross over in a more honorable way?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things in my tradition, the way I was brought up, is that we don't really fear the hauntings and the people who are unsettled, the spirits who are unsettled, you know, for whatever reason. We honor them, we nurture them, we love them, and we really respect them and try very gently to guide them to cross over. A lot of the spirits that have died in violent deaths or some type of aggression or who are alone and committed suicide tend to wander around, you know, Earth. And so a lot of people are afraid of what they see or they hear. You know, they feel haunted or they feel like they have a hex or something. There's a spirit in them. But my tradition is to very lovingly, you know, ask them, how can I help you? How can I guide you? How can I help you to cross over and be at peace, you know? And during the Day of the Dead, you know, it's a good time to, I always leave an empty chair by the altar for any soul that is unsettled or is having a difficult time to cross over, because I feel that they should be honored also. You know, mm-hmm. they should be respected and nurtured to be able to cross over and be free and be released of that energy that they're carrying and walking with that, I guess, quote unquote, is scaring somebody, you know, being haunted by it.
Well, you know, that's a good point. It's just because sometimes, you know, we put on this big, what are you doing in my house? You're invading
mm-hmm.
me. But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, they might be saying, hey, you're invading me. What are you doing here? But mm-hmm. if you're able to kind of, if the spirit doesn't want to leave for whatever reason they have, maybe they buried some gold underneath the house and they don't want to leave it, they can just go ahead and say, wow, you made me a meal. I mean, how else can you, that's just wonderful, because in life, when a man come home, you know, in the olden days, or when somebody comes home, regardless, and that meal is cooked, don't you feel better?
Mm-hmm.
It's like somebody cared enough for me to make me feel a little bit better.
Right, you know, and there's a connection. There's a reason why that spirit is there, you know, although at times we'd be haunted by that or be fear of that, there's a connection. For some reason, we're being used as a tool for that particular spirit, mm-hmm. you know, and not walk in fear with it, but you know, bring the energy of Father Sky and Mother Earth into our hearts and say, okay, you know, I'm here. How can I guide you? How can I nurture you? How can I feed your spirit to continue where it needs to go? And look, you know, we have this beautiful altar, you know, we're celebrating all the spirits, you know, and come in, be part of the celebration and be respected and honored and go on your way, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's beautiful, because that's just such a different way of looking at spirituality. It's, you know, of the lost spirit, of those who do not carry this body, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of saying, you don't carry a body, but that's okay. You're still hungry, you're still tired, and you're still lost. Let me bring you in. I mean, didn't Jesus say that in the Bible, is when mm-hmm. there's somebody that's lost or somebody that's hungry, care for them and give them what they need. You know, and that's what we should also look at, is regardless if they're of spirit body or if they're of human body, we all have to respect that being that is entering into our space, and we need to provide them what they need.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. You know, just because their spirit did not have a human form, you know, doesn't mean that we don't honor and respect them and treat them with compassion.
Yeah, that's so important. You know, the other work that you do is amazing to me is that you work with the VA. You work with vets that just came in from serving our country, and a lot of them are not in the best of mind. And that just is amazing because you talk about this female energy and working with the female energy, but you're working with these men who are going through so much trauma in their lives. How are you able to relate this to one another?
Well, I'm brand new at the VA system, you know, about 2 months, but I've been working with veterans, you know, for the last 5 years. A lot of the veterans that come to me were coming to me because they were feeling lost. They were feeling like they had misplaced their spirit in Iraq, Afghanistan, wherever the conflict they were at. And so the type of work that they're asking for me is to try to connect their fragmented spirit again. And mm-hmm. so I bring in Mother Earth, I bring in the elements. They're very receptive and open to it. The VA system has been incredibly patient and incredibly open to what I do. There's this whole new view and path about mind, body, and spirit medicine. And so I bring in my rituals and my ceremonies and my traditions in an appropriate way, you know, and adjust it to what the veterans need and what they're requesting. Not only do I bring in my curanderismo and social work in, but I also walk as a Lipan Apache medicine woman. And so I bring all those elements together from a female energy to balance the warrior male energy that they're bringing back from overseas. It works mm-hmm. beautifully together.
Well, yeah, I can see why it works beautifully together, because they just need to reconnect with their whole being. And you know, in the old tradition, there really wasn't a way for them to connect with their spirit that they lost.
Right.
In such tragic ways.
And they're trained. They're trained to do one thing. They're trained to protect our country and you know, and protect themselves and their fellow soldiers. And so when they come back, you know, I work with them to try to soothe their spirit, to calm them down, you know, release some of that aggression, some of the belief system that they're, you know, being diligent of what's happening around the world, that they have to protect everything and honor their little spirit, you know, if they're afraid, and honor their little spirit if they have a little bit of anxiety. And so, you know, we work together, you know, the vet and I co-create their healing treatment plan. It's not a clinical treatment plan. It's a spiritual treatment plan. And so far, you know, the results have been pretty incredible.
Wow. Wow. Just by you saying that, was be able to co-create a spiritual plan. Now, that's amazing to me, because that's what's lost and that's what they need to regain. Because when they come back to America, they're a hollow person. Where did this spirit go? You know, it went someplace where they couldn't handle this violence or some of the incidents that they've seen, so it goes away. And to be able to function into everyday life, society, they need to have some help to bring it back. And being able, the VA being very open to what you do amazes me, because this is what we need. We need more of it. And it's only, I know of, in New Mexico. It needs to be everywhere.
Absolutely. The director of the Albuquerque VA hospital is a very compassionate man. I did find out this last week that there's some other VAs throughout the country who are trying to implement something to adjust the spiritual component of the veterans. And so the VA is realizing that it's needed. You know, you cannot create a holistic healing model for the veterans if you just concentrate on a psychological component, you know, of their dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
So they're working at it, and it's coming, and it's taking time. But I see great wonders that the VA system can do with bringing in mind, body, and spirit medicine.
Wow, that's amazing. everything you do is amazing. I'm just so honored to be able to walk this path with you for as long as I have, and I hope to continue it for a very long time. And just thank you so much for sharing this hour with us. It's already been an hour. Can you believe that?
No, I can't. It went by quickly.
Yeah, it sure did. But you brought some really great, you know, wisdom to us. And would you like to share anything else with us? We have a few more minutes.
Well, Mavis, no, I just appreciate the opportunity, and I hope that the listeners know that, you know, if we walk our true authentic path, you know, with our spirits and our hearts and our minds, that we're able to overcome anything, and for them to go out and celebrate the Day of the Dead, it's something to be celebrated and embrace in our hearts.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know if we said when that day was.
Actually, the Day of the Dead is a week celebration. It starts October 26th and it ends November the 2nd, in conclusion with the Catholic tradition of All Souls Day.
Oh, okay. So I know we celebrated a good 3 days, but really the Day of the Dead is November 2nd.
Right.
Okay. Well, you know, thank you so much for being with us, and this concludes our show. And come back with me again on next Friday evening at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Today we're running a special with its Soul's Journey Grand Opening. So 12 Listen is going to go ahead and give $500 worth of prizes. If you want to be entered into the drawing, all you have to do is go to soulsjourney.com and enter your name for the mailing list. And once you enter your name on the mailing list, if you do win one of our prizes, then you will get emailed and you will know your prize. Also today at 12listen.com, they are running a special for readings at $2.75 a minute. So get in and get your reading, because that's a really good special. Thank you once again for joining me, Mavis Salafat, at Universe of Truth, and see you next week. Have a wonderful, happy Halloween. Bye.